Welcome to Spook Pod. This is Courtney.
And this is Emily.
Welcome back to Spook Pod, everyone, and welcome back after a really long holiday, a really long hiatus that we took. I don't even remember when our last episode came out. I think August, and now we're in October, so it's been a while.
And now we're coming to you sitting in the same room, which hasn't happened. We haven't been in the same place.
We have never recorded.
We haven't been in the same place in 4 years.
We haven't been in the same country in 4 years. Well, not in 4 years, but... Yeah, Emily and I haven't seen each other in person in 4 years, which is crazy.
Yeah.
That's very crazy. And now Emily came to visit me in the Netherlands, and we've been going about and doing stuff, and now, for the first time ever, we're recording in the exact same room.
Which is weird. We normally, like, we you know, count down.
We see each other on Zoom.
Yeah, It's weird. We don't have our same rituals that we normally do to record, so...
At least our audio is going to be even with each other's this time, because normally yours is so much better than mine, and now I'm going to be like, aha.
Now they're both just going to be trash, is what she's saying.
So, it's spooky season now. We're in October, and because it's spooky season, we wanted to do some spooky cases for this month. So this episode and the next episode, we're going to be talking, yeah, about some, like, more like legends and ghost stories type of deal than true crime.
It's October. We get behind that Halloween vibe.
We've been watching a lot of Halloween movies here too.
Courtney made me watch The Nun. And then I didn't sleep.
Really?
Were you scared? I slept fine.
I wasn't scared of that at all. I hate when horror movies are more funny than scary.
I will say, though, that when I went to bed, Courtney has put me in her attic because I am a lower class of human. And the reflections in the attic that specific night were a little bit crazy because there was a storm, so I could just see, like, trees, like, slamming against the glass. Not really slamming against the glass, but that was the reflection I was seeing. So that was probably the worst night to watch a horror movie and then go to bed.
We should watch one tonight, too. We really wanted to watch Paranormal Activity, because that was really scary, but we couldn't find it, so. You know, first world problems. So, yeah, we've been up to, like...
No good.
Up to no good. We went to Amsterdam for a few days, and you know what? I really wish Amsterdam was, like, a spookier city.
Okay, let's be fair. Amsterdam's pretty spooky, and I think that any city with that length of history is gonna be like, I come from Canada, where most of our cities are not that old. Like, Canada was colonized in the 1400s-ish by European settlers. So anything that we have doesn't date back before then, because, you know, the European population wouldn't have been there. It would have been Native American, and I'm not Native American. So I can't really be like, oh, in 700, like, this happened. Like, no.
Like that brewery.
Yeah.
There's a brewery here in Dockham that's literally, like, since 752. And we're like, what?
Yeah, so really, like, the history that's there for a lot of those places, like, they came through the Dark Ages and then built up from there. And
yeah,
I just...
like, there's weird history shit in Amsterdam, of course. But I feel like the Dutch, I don't know, they're just so, like... I don't know, kind of like a logical people that they're just like, ghosts don't exist, this is dumb, don't, like, and there's nothing, like, super spooky. Like, if, like, I went to London, for example, and there were so many, like, ghost walking tours and Jack the Ripper things and things like that, and here, there was one ghost walk thing that I found online, but there were no tickets for it. It just, like, they said that they had it, but then when you tried to buy tickets, it didn't actually exist. So there's not really, like, I really wanted to go to Amsterdam and do a whole bunch of spooky stuff, but there wasn't really that much, I don't think.
There was enough. There was enough for us for the 2 days that we were there.
Yeah, I mean, we did some stuff, so.
I will say, however, Spook Alley. was a bit of a ripoff.
Well, yeah, we'll get into that too, because the reason behind it is really funny. But other than that, we did Spook Alley, or I guess Ghost Alley it translates to, and then we did the dungeon, the Amsterdam dungeon, which is really like the only...
A lot of torture in the, I mean, not that Canadian history is clean and clear of bloodshed. We did our fair share, let me tell you. But just, like, yeah, a lot more torture than I really thought that...
Some interesting contraptions.
Yeah.
I couldn't do something. So, yeah, we went to the dungeon, which I think is really the only spooky thing that you can do in Amsterdam. So if you're going, go to the dungeon. I didn't think it was, like, that scary. Like, I don't get scared very easily.
This probably isn't going to mean very much to most people that listen, unless you're from Canada, but I used to do, like, the Canada's Wonderland Haunt.
Right.
And it felt like that, like, somewhat gimmicky.
Right.
I mean, the stories behind it were cool.
Yeah.
And, like, we got some content from it, so yeah. That's great. But the, like, execution of it was definitely, like, a haunted house. I mean, there was only one part that really... threw us off, which we're going to talk about today. But the rest of it was pretty,
So they just take you through, like, the history of Amsterdam and, like, the weird things, like, the Spanish Inquisition, the witch hunts, different things in Amsterdam's history.
Gallows was one of them, yeah.
Which we did a case on that before, the LC Christians.
You know, the one where she murdered her landlord with the axe and then jumped in the river to try to escape, which was just a poor choice. Was immediately caught and hanged. Do you remember that one?
Yeah. That one. Just come back. But yeah, we did learn some things from it, which is where we got the case today from that we're going to be talking about. So today we're talking about Helena, the ghost of Spooksteeg, which translates to Ghost Alley. But first, I think we should talk about our dungeon experience. So in one of the
rooms,
that they take you through in the dungeon, the theme was like learning Helena's story. And Emily and I both had like a super weird experience.
But like so opposite too. You came into a room, there was, like, benches all around the outside of the room, and it was basically just a square-shaped room, rectangle, maybe. And so they had...
Everyone sat, yeah,
on the bench
of the room.
And they made a very big point of, like, keep your feet in, which, because, like, the actors who were doing the storytelling were going to be, like, running around in the room, so they
and
were, like...
Scaring you.
Yeah, like, keep your feet in. So I was like, okay, it's one of, like, those rooms. I was sat next to Courtney on a wooden bench that was, like... on a concrete slab. So, like, it was, like, the slab and then a little bench on top of that that we sat on. There was a rail behind us and then more concrete bench. And they had us set, like, our bags behind us.
Yeah. And then the wall behind us was just straight brick. Just a straight brick wall.
And somewhere in the story...
they turn all the lights out so you can't see anything. You can't even see, like, your hand in front of your face. So you're just, like, sitting there in the complete dark, and you're, like, wondering what's gonna happen, and I don't know, were they, like, saying stuff at this point?
They were, like, narrating that there was a ghost, and she was angrier about what had gone on, and we'll explain the story, but she was angry at that point, and she was, like, coming to seek her revenge, and I don't know, Courtney felt...
All of a sudden, I felt something touch the back of my head, and I reached back instantly because I like felt something, and it felt like a tree branch that was like in my hair,
and I could hear her like, "There's something touching my head," and I could feel like kind of like air moving by my hair, so I was like, "Oh, maybe it's just air," and like I couldn't feel that at all, but while that was happening to her. Underneath of my seat, it felt like someone was running a single finger across and, like, across my butt, and then it went to, like, the other side of my body and then came back across really, really slowly, and I thought that everyone was feeling that.
You're like, everyone is getting their butt touched right now.
Like, it was a very strange sensation. I think there's actually a photo of us at the exact
this
moment
is the
this
best
happens.
Part.
And I'm not sure why my eyes are closed. I think at that point I was just so thrown off by the butt touching.
We have to post this picture.
But you can clearly, Courtney is like holding her head.
I'm like trying to shake whatever in my hair out and there's nothing there.
And I'm like sitting there with the only way I can talk about that expression is like a... Okay.
Like, I've just been assaulted.
Is everyone else feeling this? Like, I sincerely thought that this was, like, something going... So I was bemused, I guess, would be... Because I was like, what a weird sensation to put upon everyone. And then, when the room lightened again, I made eye contact with the guy sitting next to me, and he gave me this look that, like, he had also been assaulted by the finger.
Or he was the finger.
Or he was the finger. No, let's not bring that poor man into this. He was just sitting there enjoying his life. But yeah, it was just a really... We didn't have an explanation for that one. Because I was sitting on a solid wood... I looked at it after. I stood up and looked at the bench and it was like solid wood.
Yeah, the butt thing didn't make any sense. Like, for my thing, I picture like maybe the actors could have been carrying around like a big thing and that they were like touching everyone's heads with it.
Because later when we were talking about it, before we'd seen the picture of it, Courtney was like, oh, did your head get touched? And I was like, kind of, like I felt a little, and then I was like, but it was the butt touching that really like...
And I was like, what?
What? Yeah.
But maybe I was so distracted by, like, as soon as something touched my hair and I felt it, I didn't know if it was like stuck there. So I kept the rest of the time just trying to like touch my head and make sure I was okay. But I died. It was so funny when we saw that picture. Because you know how when you always do these touristy things, you can always buy pictures and it's super gimmicky and normally I hate them and I'm like, this is stupid. But when I saw the picture, I knew it was like
that moment,
which was like the moment.
Which was hilarious because it was the only moment that we actually like stopped and talked about with each other.
Yeah.
And then we, like, went, and that was the picture that they had taken of us, and I was like, oh, how so interesting that is the picture.
So we'll post it on our Instagram that we have our post on.
See me being violated.
Yeah, Emily's just, like, got this look on her face, like, oh my god. And I'm just, like, ruffling through my hair, trying to figure my life out. But yeah, that part of the... dungeon experience. That was the only time that like we were like rattled.
Yeah.
And it was during when we were learning about Helena the ghost. So we wanted to tell her story today.
To be fair, the part that Courtney couldn't do because she's pregnant was actually like a little unnerving too because it was all in the dark.
Yeah,
it was all in the dark and you had to like feel your way through. And then there was a very dark tunnel that we had to like squat down to get through.
I'm sad that I couldn't do it.
Which I was, like, very focused on the girl in front of me because she had, like, white on her. She was wearing a black shirt and it had white on it. And I was like, as long as I can see her shirt, I'll get through this fine. But she was moving at a quick pace. And so I was, like, close to losing sight of her. And I was like, no, I have to scramble through this tunnel faster. Yeah. So that part was a little bit just unnerving in the fact that, like, if I had lost sight of that girl, I would... Oh, and... You know what else was a little wonky? Was like the hallway of mirrors.
Oh yeah. I was actually just gonna say that, yeah, because yeah, and they were all slanted and you actually couldn't tell where you were going.
You know when you see people that are like walking with their hands out in front of them and you're like, oh come on, and no, I was doing
like you could not tell. And then all of a sudden this like pathway opened. We were there at like right the perfect time, I think, because the pathway just opened.
And we were like, oh, that's where we're supposed to go.
Yeah. Because I think, like, they could just leave you wandering around in that mirror room forever and not open the door to the exit.
I'm pretty sure there was just, like, it was just a small circle. But we were, like...
I'm convinced that people get stuck in there and get left in there. All right, well, let's tell Helena's story. So, Helena the ghost. One little pre-note type of dealio thing. Like, this is a legend. And so we don't know if this story is actually true or not, and because it talks about a ghost, you know.
There are some, like, coincidences when you read all of the different stories that you're like, okay, if that many people, but also group hallucination is a thing, right. So let's not discount that.
And basically, like, I read this story from a lot of different sources, and they were pretty much, like, They have, like, the main story the same, but some little facts are different. So we're just going to tell the story the way we want to, basically. But
artistic license.
Artistic license. Just keep in mind, yeah, like, this is, like, a myth, a legend. And even, like, one of the sisters' names is different in some stories. So, anywho. So, one of the oldest streets in Amsterdam's red light district on the Zeedijk is called Spooksteeg, which translates to Ghost Alley in English. And I think we should talk about this street a little bit because
we couldn't find it at first. Here's the silly thing. Courtney and I, my first day in Amsterdam was basically a wash. Like, we did a lot of fun stuff, but I was running on, like,
we did a lot that day.
We did, but I just mean, like, for us, like, coherently getting things
done. Yeah,
Emily
had no sleep.
First of all, I'm a little sick. I don't know if you can tell still. My voice is a little raspy, but I was really sick when I came off the plane. I had, like, a very plugged nose. And try finding Kleenex when you've run out of Kleenex in a foreign country when you have no luggage and very little sleep. It's not easy. I was stealing napkins. Like a little dirty heathen. I was just like, every time we went and ate somewhere, I was like, napkin, napkin, napkin. And I'd like shove it in my purse, rip it into little pieces. So we were wandering around Amsterdam. We didn't have a hotel room at first. And so we decided that we were just going to walk. But it was lightly raining. Hello, welcome to the Netherlands. And so we were kind of just spooling around and trying to find, like, various places that we might want to go when we could actually, like, go and get my stuff from the hotel and function as human beings. And in our, like, wandering journey, like, crossing canals and wandering up and down streets, and we had, like, found the red light district during the day, and we came across this alley, and we were, like, going to walk down it, but then I noticed that there was a gate. And the gate was open, but, again, in Canada, where there's that kind of, like, gate and stuff, you always just assume it's private property. And so I was like, oh, this is probably, like, just a private alleyway. It has, like, buzzers and stuff on it, and, like, you probably just can't use it if you're, like, a normal human being walking around. And Courtney was like, are you sure? It's open, but I'm always a nervous Nelly. And so I was like, let's not just, like, walk down some alley that we don't even know when we don't have to. So we walked past it and we left it. And then later, when we were actually looking for Spook Alley, Courtney was like, oh my gosh. As she's, like, reading her map on her phone, she's like, oh my gosh, do you think it's that alley that we saw earlier with the gate on it? And I didn't remember reading Spook Alley on it when we were there. And so I was like, oh, I don't know. I don't think that that's the one. Turns out it is.
It was. We walked right past it.
But by the time that we were looking for it, it was, what, after 6, right? It would have been closer to 8.
And they close it
at 6
night.
p.m.
Yeah.
Every night. And so it literally was locked.
So
the
ghosts
public
can't get you. Yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about why they close it later. But yeah, so there's this alley that's called Ghost Alley. It's in the red light district. Way back when, in the 18th century, this street was home to a very successful tannery business, which was called Het Verdoldeschap. And it was owned by a man who had two beautiful daughters, Helena and Dina. Now, Helena and Dina, they were both very beautiful, but they were both very different personality-wise. So Dina was friendly and calm, while Helena was, like, jealous and had, like, a dark heart.
Spiteful.
And one fine day around the year, okay, the year is a little bit shifty in different stories. I'm gonna go with 1730, but I've also seen reports say 1750. I just like 1730 better, and I'll tell you why later. But so one fine day around the year 1730, a sailor named Wouter was home from sea, and he came to the business, and he fell in love with Dina. And Dina loved him in return. So they started a little love affair.
Happened real quick back then, because really you didn't have that long to live.
And they began, like, Wouter had to return to sea, so they were sending each other letters, and just keeping up communication, you know, having like a long distance relationship back in the day. But there was a problem. Helena also decided that she loved Wouter, and she became so jealous that she started to, like, actively try to interfere in Dina and Wouter's relationship.
And this is just, like, so confusing to me, and I never get people that do this, but, like, when you see someone and they are with someone else and they are clearly, like, coupled and, like, happy together, how can you be like, oh, I love him and he is my one true love? Like, no, he's in a relationship. You're barking up the wrong tree.
You're too nice of a person.
Just take it somewhere else. There's, like,
it's a classic love triangle.
So many Dutch sailors wandering around waiting for a mean little woman to come rule their life, and you don't need to take that one.
So Helena started, like, intercepting their letters, and she, like, basically, yeah, like, if a letter came in the mail for Dina, Helena would hide it, and then Dina was, like, starting to think that Wouter no longer cared for her. But then Helena kind of stepped in and would also send Wouter letters. So she was like, yeah, like hiding this relationship.
Just imagine being that dude too and like getting all these weird letters from like the girl you're interested in, her sister.
Yeah. He's like, oh, okay.
Got a pair of underwear in the mail from my sister-in-law.
And then one day, Dina found out about this. She found the stash of letters. She found out that, like, basically what Helena was doing to her. And a huge fight ensued between the sisters. They actually fought for days. Like, first it was a verbal argument, and then it grew physical. And eventually it grew so heated that Helena grabbed Dina and threw her down the basement stairs of this tannery, which knocked her out. And then Helena just, like, locked the basement door, left her down there, and nobody saw this crime happen.
Solid sister behavior.
Very nice. Very kind. A few hours later, Helena went to check on Dina and found...
Point of fact, I've seen it say a few days later.
I've also seen it say a few days later, too. Although I was like, how can you be, like, locked? Like, unconscious for days.
Wouldn't,
like,
they be screaming and, like,
yeah, wouldn't someone eventually find her? So I felt like a few hours made more sense. Yeah. But maybe she was down there for a few days.
We don't know.
So after some specified amount of time, Helena went to check on Dina and found that she was still unconscious, but she was breathing. So she was alive. And at this point, Helena made a decision. She decided to grab a piece of wood and beat Dina to death over the head. And then from there, she arranged the scene so that it looked as if Dina had fallen down the stairs and died. And, like, as we know, Dutch stairs are crazy, so I feel
Listen, this country is great. The stairs need some work. I have died on those stairs, and you were pregnant. Like, I was climbing up these stairs and being like, wow, that was risky business. I don't know. And I turn around, and there's Courtney just trucking up on behind me. And I was like, oh my God, like, this is insane.
Yeah, the ones in, we went to, it's called Our Lord in the Attic. That one, like, you can't even fit your foot on one of the stairs.
And some of the ones in the Anne Frank house, too. I was like, what is this? These people were supposed to be hiding, and here they are falling down the stairs every 3 minutes.
So, yeah, it's, I feel like, you know, the falling down the stairs in the Netherlands, hey, it's a good alibi, or it's a good, like, way to frame a murder.
Especially when the stairs are smaller than your feet.
Yeah. Do you think they had really small feet?
No.
Do you think they were?
The Dutch are a very tall people, and you have to have compensational situation on your feet. You can't have tiny feet and support that kind of height. You'd be topple heavy already, and then it just doesn't. Why do your stairs not fit your feet?
So, yeah, when Dina's body was found, Helena was successfully able to convince everyone that she'd just fallen down the stairs, and the death was ruled an accident.
feel like there wasn't much for a police force back then either in the way of like detecting and investigating.
Yeah, no forensics.
Like, they don't.
Like, no blood spatter analysis.
It was like, did you shoot
on?
Someone in the sight of someone else? Oh no, then it was an accident.
So after Dina's death, Helena basically just picked up right there. So she went to Wouter, Dina was now dead, and she convinced Wouter to marry her.
She was comforting him in his grief.
Yeah. So seemingly all of Helena's dreams came true. Except she could not shake the guilt that she felt for murdering her sister. Which, hey, she's got a conscience, maybe, at least.
It's like the Edgar Allan Poe with the heart and the floorboards.
Yeah. Everyone had a conscience back in the day. Now everyone doesn't.
No, nobody cares.
So just a few years later, like, the guilt had racked Helena so much. She was so sickly, and she actually was on her deathbed, just from feeling so much guilt. And she confessed on her deathbed to Wouter that she had murdered Dina, her sister.
And Wouter was fine with it, and they all lived happily ever after.
Wait. Wouter flew into a rage, and he damned Helena to roam the earth as a ghost for all eternity. She would never be able to get any peace for her crime. And Helena died lonely and alone on July 24th, 1733. That night that she died, there was an unusual cold front, and other residents reported this on the Zadig. And they also reported hearing dreadful moaning and screeching howls as they laid in their beds. And it is said that on every 100th year, on the 24th of July, the anniversary of Helena's death, Helena reappears as a ghost, moaning and screaming in Spook Alley. So 100 years after her death was 1833, and many people then reported this phenomenon, and that is actually when the street was renamed to Ghost Alley. So it was 100 years later, because everyone was like, oh my gosh, Helena's ghost is here. They renamed the street, and then 100 years after that, on July 24th, 1933, a large crowd again, they gathered by this street, expecting to hear her cries. There were even, like, reporters, television crews, and thousands of people, but Helena did not make an appearance that year. Maybe she had a little bit of stage fright going on. That's a lot of people. So, some reports say every 100 years, but other reports say that this just happens every year on July 24th. And some other reports just say that she shows up if she it just ever feels like bugging you. So it doesn't have to be any specific day. And I've also seen her death date reported differently, as I said earlier in the story. So some say that it was July 24th, 1733. And others say that she died on July 24th, 1753. So that means the next 100-year anniversary would either be July 24th, 2033, or July 24th, 2053. So yeah, either in 10 years or 30 years, basically.
We can try for both.
Yeah, we should try for both. Although for the second one, we'll literally be like 63 years old.
There's no reason why we can't go enjoy the red light district in our
60s. So as we mentioned, the Ghost Alley, it has gates on it, and they close it every night at like six or seven. And it's really funny because the reason that they close it is, I think, because so many people go into that alley looking for ghosts that the people who live there are probably like, fuck off, like, get out of here, stop being noisy in my alley and causing a ruckus. But I feel like on this anniversary, like, they have to keep the doors open for that one night. That should be a rule. On July 24th, they have to keep the doors
open.
Or
just pick one sacrifice and toss it into the alley and just wait and see.
Because Emily and I tried to go in at night, but the gate was closed. So we did walk through it, but during the day. And I mean, it's Ghost Alley. It's not scary during the day.
There was a strange amount of bird feathers shoved into Eve's trough.
That's true.
Which was odd. But other than that.
So yeah, many people still do claim to feel a chill and hear soft moans when they walk down the alley. They say that you know Helena is near when you start to feel a cold shiver run down your back. But whether this story is real, that I cannot say. You'll have to go to Ghost Alley and figure it out for yourself. Looking at the history records, there is no trace of the existence of a tanner around the mid-1700s, but the family name does show up in an address book. So, you know, don't know.
Maybe somebody just really hated that family and was like, let's start a rumor.
Let's make a legend out of this. Yeah, like, how do legends come to be? I think it's really cool. Like, just following this throughout history. I wish we could go back in time to this time period and just see.
I don't think Courtney understands what it was like for human beings in the 1700s in Amsterdam.
But I don't know, I just think it's an interesting story, and the fact that it still exists today as one of Amsterdam's most famous ghost stories, it has to have started from somewhere. There has to be some, like, you know, I feel like normally all legends have, like, even just, like, a little kernel of truth.
Bigfoot.
Yeah. People saw footprints, you know? But that is our story today. So if you're headed to Amsterdam, go check out Spooksteeg or Ghost Alley. And although you can't go in at night, so that's kind of lame. But let us know
maybe
what you think.
If you hide in the alley, you can get locked in it overnight.
Ooh, that's a good plan. We should have done that.
We'd need a big barrel.
Yeah.
To hide both
Pull
of us.
Off like a little Home Alone, like what the bandits did. Like, just hide in something. They lock it and close it. But then we'd have to, like, scale that gate to get out, or we'd be
no,
there
you
all
No, stay
night.
There until the morning. You're done. It's like staying overnight in a haunted house. You choose to be there until you can get out.
Just sleeping on the streets. We would definitely see a ghost, I think, if we stayed there all night. We should have done that! Or you can go to the dungeon if you just want to...
hear the story.
Get your butt touched.
You don't have to go to the dungeon for that.
Alright, that is our story for you today, and we will see you next time for another spooky tale.
When I'll be back in Canada, and
we'll be recording from far away again.
Across Zoom.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you liked this episode, please listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes of Spook Pod. New ones are out every other Friday. Available now for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want to chat? Email us at thespookpod@gmail.com or follow us on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, and Reddit @spookpod.
For a full list of episodes, more deets, or to see what's coming next, visit our website, spookpod.com.
This has been a presentation of Mostly Awkward Media.
See you next time.